All right, let's turn back to Luke and chapter 24 again. And I want to pick up where we left off last week. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about how the Lord Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament scriptures. And all of those Old Testament prophets told us about his first advent, his first coming to this world. But those prophecies were not all grand and glorious, all right? They had death in them. They had suffering in them. Those prophecies dealt with the fact that that the Messiah would be crucified on the cross, that he would hang up on the tree, and then God says, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree." And so it was, you know, it was gloom and doom in that first advent. And they certainly did not want to think that their Messiah came and then died. I mean, it just blew them away. But what they failed to realize was that those same scriptures that talked about him coming the first time and dying on the cross, those same prophets went on to say and to tell us that that he would resurrect from the grave. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. All right, so that's sort of where we were last week. We talked about Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Well, evidently the Jews in our Lord's day did not believe Isaiah's report. Isaiah 53 is all about the fact that the Lord Jesus would suffer and die on the cross. Who hath believed our report? Well, they didn't believe Psalm 22. They didn't believe that. Just hold your place here for a moment and go back to Psalm 22 for just a moment. And let me just show you a couple of things that are in this psalm. Now, remember that this psalm was written years before the Lord Jesus ever came, 800 years before the birth of Christ. And look at Psalm 22 in verse 1. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Does that sound familiar to anyone? Yes, exactly. He said that when he was on the cross, did he not? He uttered that statement as he hung between heaven and earth. Now, every one of those Jews standing around, and all the scribes and all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees, every one of them who were standing around watching and mocking the Savior, every one of them should have turned and looked at one another and said, "What did he just say? What did he just say? He just said Psalm 22, 1? Wow. Maybe we made a mistake here." But they didn't catch it. They didn't get it. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" All right, go on down a little bit. It says, let's see, look at verse 6. It says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." Yes, he was. That's why they crucified him. "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him.'" Does that sound familiar? Yes, that's exactly what the mob standing around the foot of the cross screamed out to the Lord Jesus. He trusted God. Let God come and save him right now. Let God come. And they mocked and jeered. So Psalm 22 is all about the first coming of the Lord. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Oh my, this Psalm 22 is, it's just a description of what happened on the cross when the Lord Jesus came the first time. All right? So now in Luke 24, we have the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We have the resurrected Savior. And the resurrected Savior is having a conversation with these two disciples who were on their way home from Jerusalem. Now, they have been with Jesus. They saw everything that happened. They got the report from the women that Jesus was alive and walking home. All of a sudden, here the Lord joins with them. But now remember, it says that in verse 16, 24, 16 of Luke, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And so he asked them, why are you sad? Look at the end of verse 17. Why are you sad? And Cleopas then said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And so Jesus said, what things? And so they told him. But look at verse 21. But we trusted. You see, they thought for sure, the disciples thought that Jesus was going, was for sure the Messiah. And it said, but we trusted that it should have been that it should have been he which should have redeemed Israel. So they were looking for someone, a Messiah, to come and deliver them from the subjection to the Romans. The Romans had dominated their culture, had moved into their cities, built their camps and built their fortresses all over the land. And they thought that they were going to be delivered by the Messiah when he came. So what did they confuse? Well, here's what they confused. They confused his second advent with the first advent. All right? They confused the second coming with the first coming. And they did not see all of those scriptures talking about him being killed on Calvary's cross. They did not see the beatings and the torture and the suffering. They didn't see any of that. They all had the grand and glorious in their sight. So look down now at verse 27. Here's the point that I made last week, and I want to pick it up right here. It says, and beginning at who? Moses. And beginning at Moses. Now, when you begin at Moses, where do you begin in your Bible? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Exactly right. So beginning at Genesis, or at Moses, and all the prophets. So, folks, that's inclusive of your entire Old Testament. I mean, the whole thing, beginning at Moses, and then all the prophets. So, in other words, from Genesis to Revelation, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now that's key right there. He talked to them and explained to them all the scriptures, no doubt the ones that had to do with his first coming into this world. The one where he went to the cross. So, in verse 27, so vital, so important, so necessary for understanding God's plan of redemption for mankind. There are two statements in this 27th verse, and I want us to cover them tonight. First, the first statement is this, beginning at Moses. Man, that's key right there. Beginning at Moses. Now remember, folks, when we started this several months ago now, back June the 3rd, when we started this study looking at Christ in the Old Testament scriptures, and especially the book of Genesis, who knows where it's going to evolve from here, but especially in Genesis, I have called to your attention the fact that Jesus is the theme of the whole Bible. He is the main character, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. It all shines its light upon him. And all throughout the Old Testament, as you read the Word of God, there is Jesus standing on every page. Sometimes more pronounced than at other times, but nonetheless, Jesus is on every page of your Old Testament. And so here he says, Luke tells us, and beginning at Moses. So what's that a reference to? Well, it is referring to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Man, wouldn't you have loved to have heard that Bible lesson that the Lord Jesus gave? Wouldn't you have loved to have heard what he had to say? But it didn't stop there with the first five books of the Bible, but Luke went on to say that beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, I think what happened here is probably he just went down the road with all the prophets of the Old Testament and said, well, now this one said, and then this one said about me, and then this one said about me, and then this one said about me. And by the way, weren't you folks there last week? Did you not see that with your own eyes? And then this is what this one had to say. And then this is what Abraham said. And this was what Enoch said. And this is what Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Joshua and Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and then all the 12 minor prophets. This is what all of them had to say about me. Man, what a lesson that would have been. But then notice further on in the verse, as if that were not enough, Luke says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. All the scriptures. Man, I mean, every one of them. What's that mean? Well, that means the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, the history books, 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles and Proverbs and the Psalms and the Song of Solomon. And notice Luke says that Jesus expounded unto them. In other words, folks, he broke the scriptures down so that they could understand how those scriptures applied to him. Man, what a lesson. What a lesson that would have been. Can you imagine that? Showing those two exactly where he was right in the middle of the passage of Scripture that he was explaining to them. And notice, folks, They had no idea, no idea that he was speaking of himself. In other words, they did not know that it was this very Jesus who was talking to them. They did not know that. Their eyes were holden that they could not see him. They did not know who he was, but this man was teaching them things about Jesus they never knew before. Wow. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's no wonder they wanted him to come into their house and keep speaking about the Lord. They wanted this man to tell them more. Come in, spend the night here and tell us everything you know. We're hungry and we are loving this. We're understanding what you're saying. We're familiar with all those verses, but we just never put them all together. So come in, sit down at our table, we'll feed you, and you just keep talking. And when Jesus did finally reveal himself to them, they went running back into Jerusalem to tell the apostles what had just happened to them. And they told them, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way? When he opened unto them the scriptures. Folks, that is the amazing thing about this book. Do you realize that the author of this book, who is the Holy Spirit, remember that? All right, all scripture is given by inspiration, all of it. All right, the Holy Spirit gave this book to us. And that Holy Spirit, who is the author of this book, who led his men to pen the words. That Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, lives in you. He lives in you. When I was in college, my sophomore year, we had a fella in our school, and his name was George Dollar, Dr. George Dollar, brilliant man. And I took every class that I could from Dr. Dollar. He was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And I learned more listening to him, and I took about eight classes altogether, eight different classes from him, and it was just amazing. He could stand up. He didn't come into the classroom with an English Bible. He came in with a Greek Bible, because he just knew, and we would watch him. We would watch him, and he'd be up there reading the scripture, but he's reading it out of a Greek New Testament. And we're sitting there following him, making sure. And he didn't miss a word. That's how well he knew the language. That guy was amazing, absolutely amazing. And during my freshman year, at graduation, they gave him an honorary doctorate, which he already had an earned doctorate, but they gave him an honorary doctorate, and they held up this book that he had written. Well, then the next year, when we went back for my sophomore year, I had him for sophomore preacher boys class. And do you know what we studied? His book. We all had to go by his book. That was sweet, wasn't it? Man, that thing was expensive. But we had to go by his book. And then we had to read his book. And we got tested on his book. And I remember just shortly after we got started in that class, these two guys got into a debate with one another right in front of me. I was sitting in my seat ready for the thing to start, but these two guys are arguing, and about that time Dr. Dollar walked out, and so I said, guys, you better stop. He just walked out. And they looked up, and I said, what you ought to do is just ask him. He ought to know. He wrote the book. And so one of them raised his hand and asked the question, and he answered it for him, just like that. You see, if you wrote the book, you ought to be able to explain it, right? And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, the same one that wrote this book, is the one that lives in you. And that's why you can sit down and read a passage of Scripture one day, and then a week later, sit down and read that same passage again, and you'll get something totally different the second time around. That's because the author is explaining to you what he has written. So let's realize that. All right? Let's realize that. And so once inside, the Lord just kept expounding the Old Testament scriptures. And after a little while, as they were listening and just gobbling up every word that he had to say, the Bible says, this man, let's look at it. All right, let's look at it. Verse 30. All right, in verse 29, they said, abide with us. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass. So that means a little time went by. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. All right. And he blessed it. And he broke it and gave it to them. What's bread always a picture of in your New Testament? The Word of God. It's bread to your soul. He took bread and blessed it and then gave them to eat. And when he gave bread to them, notice this, suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Got it? You see that? Isn't that pretty? I mean, after a little while, as they were listening, just gobbling it up, he took bread, broke it, and blessed it, and then handed it to them, and suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They understood, listen carefully to this, they understood that it was Jesus who had been speaking with them. Imagine it, folks. Jesus himself expounded the scriptures to them. All right, second, I want to ask you a question. So how did they recognize him? How did they recognize him? Now I know verse 31 says their eyes were opened and they knew him. But my question is, what did they see when their eyes were opened? What did they see? Now, the answer just might be in the report that they gave the apostles when they ran back to Jerusalem to tell everybody what had just happened. Look at verse 35. In verse 35, it says, and they told what things were done in the way. Now, what was the way? Going to the house. Right? Going to the house. And how he was known of them. Watch this now. And how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Huh. How did they know it was him? Watch. He takes the bread. He breaks it. And he hands it to them. Uh-huh. What'd they see when they took the bread from his hand? The nail scars. Got it? Isn't that neat? Did you just get glory bumps all over you?
Yes.
You should have. What did they see? Hey, folks, it's no wonder they jumped up and took off running back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles. Yes, he's alive. We've seen him. We just sat down at the table with him. He took bread and he broke that bread and handed it to us. And when he handed it to us, we saw the nail prints in his hands. Wow. What better evidence do you get than that? What better proof do you get than that? Now again, notice two things. They told about Jesus opening the scriptures from Moses on, and number two, they told them about how they recognized him. And that was in the breaking of the bread. Notice the words, folks, and how he was known of them in breaking bread. Verse 35. Man, you ought to circle that verse. You ought to underline that phrase at the end of it. You just ought to get a neon sign and stick it right there so that you go back and read that over and over and over and just picture it in your mind. Could you imagine the Son of God sitting down at your table and breaking that bread and handing it to you, and you see the nails print in his hand? Wow. Unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. I think that when he handed him the bread, at that very moment, they saw his identification marks. You say, what marks? The nail prints in his hands. As he passed the bread to them, surely they saw his hands. Now let me show you something that I had never thought of before. But a little bit later in this chapter, look at verse 37. All right, verse 37. Well, let's go back to 36. It says, and as they thus spake. So they ran back to the disciples. They're now in the upper room. And they're explaining everything that just happened. And it says, and as they thus spake, Jesus, what's the next word? Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit, a ghost, if you will, a spirit. All right, look at verse 38. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Verse 39. Look at me. Behold my, what? Hands. You see, that was his identification mark. Behold, when Cleopas and his wife saw the nail prints in his hands, that's all they needed. That's all they needed. And so now he comes back to the disciples, and they're in the upper room, and they're all scared to death. They got the door shut. They got the windows latched. They're scared that the Romans are going to come and execute them. And then right in the middle of the whole thing, Jesus appears. Well, it scared them to death. But he calmed their fears by saying, "It's me. Look here." And he held out his hands so they could see. My, my, my. Isn't that something? It just thrills my soul, folks. Just thrills my soul. Let me give you one other example. Go over to the book of John for just a moment. John and chapter 20. John chapter 20. All right, look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. It says, John chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." All right, so he was not with them when they were in the upper room and Jesus appeared in the upper room. Without opening the door, without crawling through the window, he just was there. All right? But Thomas was not with them. Verse 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails." You see, did you hear that?
Yes.
Thomas said, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now look at the next verse. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within." So they're in the upper room again. "And Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas," Thomas, oh, listen, put yourself in Thomas's shoes right now, would you please? Just put yourself in Thomas's shoes. Now, what did he say 8 days previous? "Except I see the nail print in his hand, and except I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." All right, so 8 days later, look at this, verse 27. "Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Woo! Hey, he didn't have to put his hand on those nail prints. No, sir. Seeing them was enough. He didn't have to put his hands on his side where they stuck him with the spear and the water and the blood poured out. He did not have to bow down and put his fingers on the nail prints in our Lord's feet. The Lord said, "Behold." "Behold." And Thomas hit the floor and cried out, "My Lord and my God." He believed. He believed. So let me ask one more question tonight before we leave. Everybody get that?
Yes.
All right, let me ask one more question tonight before we go home. What went wrong with his disciples, with his followers? And then what went wrong with his 11 apostles? All right, remember Judas, he's not there. He committed Harry Carey, remember? So it was only 11 in the upper room. What went wrong? We know in Acts 1 there were 120 people in that upper room. Those were followers. They were disciples. And then there were the apostles, the 11. They were there as well. So what went wrong that they were so slow to recognize him and to believe that it was him? What went wrong? All right, now listen carefully. What went wrong was this. They had not believed all the scriptures concerning him. That was the problem. That was the problem. Go back to Luke. Go back to Luke. All right, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. And so the problem was they had not believed all the scriptures concerning him. The apostles and then all of his disciples only accepted those things which were in line with their wishful thinking. It's what they wanted their Messiah to be, not what God said his Messiah would be. And everything else was ignored. They were more than happy to believe those passages of scripture about the Messiah coming to deliver Israel and restore the kingdom and to sit down upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. They were more than happy to believe that one. But they were not prepared and they were not ready to accept the fact that he had to suffer. Again, let me take you over to 1 Peter. Just go over to 1 Peter again. I gotta give you this verse. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Chapter 1 and verse 10. And here it says in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, folks, that's the New Testament. That's grace. We are now in the age or the day of grace. We're in the period of grace. If you want to call it a dispensation, that's fine with me. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But we're in the day of grace. How many of you have had grace extended to you? Raise your hand. Sure you have. All right, so you understand what I'm saying, right? So he says that we're in the day of grace. Now look at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it, the Spirit, testified beforehand. That's Old Testament, all right? That's Isaiah 53, that's Psalm 22, and many other passages. When it testified beforehand, the Old Testament prophets, the sufferings of Christ, comma, and the glory that should follow. So Peter says the Old Testament prophesied about the first advent, which would bring grace. And then the prophet spoke about the second advent, the second coming, where glory is going to be the name of that tune. Nod your head. You with me? All right. Now, let's go on. Got to hurry. So that's why they were more than quick to ask in Acts 1, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? No, no, no. No, guys, come on. Come on. You haven't got it yet? You haven't figured this out yet? Right now is not kingdom time. Right now is time to work. You got a lot of people you got to lead to Christ. You got churches you got to build. And you got missionaries that you got to train, send out. So it's not time to build now. But the scriptures spoke about both the suffering and the glory. The scriptures talked about the first coming and the suffering, and the second coming and the glory. And so here in this chapter, with the two Emmaus Road travelers, Jesus rebuked them for only believing part of the scriptures. All right? Part. Look at Luke 24 again. Look at it. It says verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe. What's the next word? All. O fools and slow of heart to believe. All. So what was wrong with them? They didn't believe all. Folks, listen. God makes no mistakes. Everything in this Bible is accurate. Everything he said would happen in that first advent, it happened exactly as it was written. There was not one prophecy mentioned from Genesis to Malachi, not one concerning that first advent that did not come true exactly as it was written. And if there had been even one, then the New York Slimes would have had a front page headline that says, Bible proven to be false. And trust me, folks, they've looked. They've looked. All right? So Jesus gives them one more message about believing the scriptures. Let me show you this one. Look at one more message. Look at verse 42. Look at verse 42. Okay. And while they yet, look at verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things, did you get that? All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And this is as clear as it can be. And verse 45 says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, back in the Old Testament, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So one more admonition. He said, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, they're all about me. And now my admonition to you, church, is when you read your Bible, believe it. Amen. Believe it. I mean, just believe it. Don't listen to the infidels and the doubters and the critics and all the rest. You just read it in the Bible, claim it, and believe it. Because It's the Word of God. All that the Scriptures saith, all. You know, the world would have us believe that the Bible is on the same level as Aesop's fables. No, it's not. No, it's not. They would have us believe that the Bible's on the same level with Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales. But no. I've tried to show you tonight that we are to believe all the Scriptures. If some of the Scriptures are nothing more than fables or myths, then who is to be the judge to decide what is authentic and what is not? You see, the point is all. Yeah. All. Let's believe all. And we'll be a better Christian for it. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you now for the privilege we have to study your word tonight. And I pray that you will bless this. We just are thankful we have a Bible. And we can trust it. We can lean upon it. And Father, we can understand it because the author lives within and he teaches it to us. And so, Father, I pray that you will seal every truth in every heart tonight and just give us a hungering and a thirsting for the things of the Word of God. Bless us now, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.